All right, back on the Young Turks. Look at this, Casper's here.
Hey guys.
Lovely to have you here. Lovely to have you in a nice spring dress, although we're approaching fall.
We are. I know. I needed to like bust it out and use it one more time before the fall season begins.
The leaves have started to turn even in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I love America. Okay. I'm the hokiest dude in the world, and you guys know it. I'm not sure anyone loves America more than I do. Like all those false patriots are like, oh, don't question the country. They don't really know what the America stands for. I do, and I freaking love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rita Ann writes in, Mitch McConnell retreating into his shell, comedy gold there. Why, thank you, I appreciate that. I am Sock writes in, I am so tired of winning. That's really funny. Jeremy says it's over. That kind of language from McConnell is practically a vote of no confidence. Ladies and gentlemen, we hold hashtag too soon. So no, not yet. But that McConnell's lack of confidence, lack of faith in Trump could be very, very relevant later. MCX writes in, major crush on Nomiki Konst, watching TYT from Germany, keep up the good fight. And by the way, Nomi will be on Old School tonight. So me, Nomi, Adam Green, Mark Thompson, it's a progressive extravaganza on Old School tonight. And from YouTube Super Chat, Fred Curry writes in, Anna ripped out and ate Ann Coulter's heart in the debate. Hashtag Anna for Khaleesi.
Damn, where did that come from?
I don't know, but I like it.
Thank you.
Well, I do know, YouTube Super Chat. Use it, it helps the show, and we read your comments. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. Due to new DNA evidence, a man who was just hours away from being executed was issued a stay of execution. Now there will be a board looking into the matter to decide whether or not he will be exonerated or if he is still found guilty of a murder that took place in the late 1990s. Now the DNA on the murder weapon did not match Marcellus Williams's DNA, okay? So instead it was found to belong to an unknown male. So let me give you some background on the crime that occurred. So back in 1999, there was a reporter that was stabbed to death in her own home. And prosecutors alleged that Marcellus Williams was burglarizing her home. And then when she appeared, he retaliated by stabbing her to death. Now he was convicted, but again, the new DNA evidence indicates that the DNA on that knife does not match his DNA. It matches the DNA of an unidentified man, right? Now a sentence of death is the ultimate, now the governor decided, I'm gonna go ahead and do a stay until we can really look into this matter because we don't wanna execute the wrong person. So here's what the governor said. A sentence of death is the ultimate permanent punishment. To carry out the death penalty, the people of Missouri must have confidence in the judgment of guilt. But the attorney general in the state is saying, no, this guy is guilty. I mean, the DNA evidence might indicate one thing, but maybe some other guy had handled the knife before. Maybe Marcellus was wearing a glove when he was handling the weapon. And they say that they have other evidence that indicates that he's guilty. But the important thing is, we need to have an investigation into the matter and be absolutely certain before carrying out this form of punishment.
Okay, so understand that they did not cancel the execution. They just delayed the execution to get more evidence. It's better that they delayed it, of course. Look, I think there's some chance the prosecutor's right. Because when you look at the other evidence, two witnesses say that Williams confessed to them. Now that happens all the time. Sometimes they do it to get a better bargain for themselves, to serve less prison time. Who knows? I don't know who those witnesses are. I have no idea if they're in prison or anything along those lines. And he did, according to the evidence, he sold Felicia Gale's laptop right after her death. That's pretty good evidence. And is it possible that it was a kitchen knife that other people used that were in her house and he was wearing gloves? Yeah, of course it's possible. Should we execute him? Hell no, are you crazy? Like if you're not, first of all, that's the whole problem with the death penalty. We can never be certain, and we're way, way away from certain in this case. come on, guys, even if you're for the death penalty, I used to be for the death penalty, but this is why I switched my mind. Because it turns out there were dozens of people on death row that didn't do it. Not like this case, like clearly didn't do it. It was, they found out later that it was somebody else's DNA. They go to the guy, he confesses to the murder. They got the wrong guy, dozens of them. We were gonna execute them, we were gonna kill them, we were gonna murder them when they were innocent. So in a case like this, I don't know if he's innocent or guilty. I do know I don't want to execute him because I don't want to go, oh, later, oh, you know what? It turns out he didn't wear a glove. It really was the other guy. Oops. No, that's not a thing you can go oops about.
Right. And look, you also have to keep in mind what the burden of proof is when you are charging and convicting someone of murder. The burden of proof is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And so I think it is important for them to open this investigation and take a look at all of the evidence and kind of determine whether or not the evidence indicates that he's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the bare minimum we haven't done yet. So whose DNA was it on the knife? If it turns out it's somebody that used to come over to her house all the time, her dad or whatever, okay, that doesn't prove anything. If it turns out it's some other guy who was a serial killer, that proves a lot, right? So let's find out whose DNA it was. And we're not talking about relitigating the case itself, which there should be an argument over, especially if we find out whose DNA is on the knife. We're just talking about should you kill the guy or should you not kill the guy.
Right.
Don't execute this guy, that's nuts. And the final argument against it is what Ben Mankiewicz says all the time. It's like, this woman was stabbed 43 times. If he in fact did do it, don't create any sympathy for him. And what it does is it makes people go, no, don't kill him. If he did it, none of us should have any sympathy for him. We should lock him away for life and never let him out. And Jesus, I mean, that's whoever did it butchered that poor woman to death, right? We want justice, but we don't want injustice. It's not that complicated.
Yes. All right, moving on to some international news. Many are now protesting leadership in the Philippines after the death of a 17-year-old boy. Now, this death centered around an incident involving cops. The police allege that Kian De Los Santos was armed and that he opened fire against the cops, which led them to return fire, and then they shot and killed him. However, there was witness testimony and also surveillance footage that indicated that that was not in fact what happened. And so this is all part of Duterte's support of extrajudicial killings involving those who are either in possession of or trafficking drugs. And you know, he's gotten a lot of support for having that policy, but a lot of people, many of which never got a day in court, have died as a result of that. In fact, there have been 12,500 casualties as a result of these extrajudicial killings. And unfortunately, it took the death of an innocent 17-year-old for people to wake up and realize this is probably not a good idea. Now, police initially claimed, let's go to graphic 10. Police initially claimed that he had fired first, but their story was contradicted by witnesses and CCTV footage that showed the teenager being dragged down alleyways into a dead-end corner where he was asked to run with a gun. And shot when he did.
Let's pause there because I want to give some more context. There's, of the 12,500 people killed, 3,500 have been killed in police shootouts where the officers claimed self-defense. But now when you see on video that they put a gun in the kid's hands and make him run away and then shoot him in the back, well, you get a sense of maybe those weren't shootouts. Maybe this is something that they do, not maybe, almost certainly what they do on a regular basis to murder people. Now, was the kid a drug dealer? No, it turns out the kid actually wanted to be a cop. And the last thing that anybody heard from him when he was screaming, please can I go home, I have school tomorrow. So this is what happens when you have no rule of law.
This is what happens when you elect crazy people,
yes.
Right? This is what happens when you elect crazy people. There's a reason why a justice system is supposed to exist, right? So people can have their day in court and they can be found guilty or innocent, and then you can carry out the appropriate actions following that day in court. But they decided against that. They decided to support a crazy person like Duterte, who thinks that someone who might be addicted to drugs is worthy of murdering, okay?
And not
disgusting.
Only that.
And by the way, we live in a country that elects crazy people as well. And Donald Trump has been very supportive of Duterte and his tough on crime policies. But in reality, these tough on crime policies end up killing completely innocent people and people who just need help with rehabilitation.
Yeah, so there are three layers at a minimum in the problems that this approach has. One is, okay, killing drug dealers, wait, nobody passed those laws. Dealing drugs is not an offense that you should be executed for. If it was, we would agree as a society that we should. We didn't pass that law in America, they didn't pass that law in the Philippines, but he's executed them anyway. Second layer is much more troubling. Oh, if you're taking drugs, he's executing you. For Christ's sake. I mean, that's a healthcare issue. It's like going around shooting everybody who's having a beer. I don't know, you seem like you were addicted to alcohol. Alcohol is a big problem in America, or in the Philippines in this case, shoot him in the head. That's insanity. It's the other stuff was probably murder, but we don't know if the drug dealers had weapons or not. The drug users are almost definitely murder. Now we get to the third layer, which is once you start killing people, you stop checking whether they're the guys you were going after in the first place. Mm-hmm. You've got a blank check from a dictator saying, go take care of the problem, and I'm not going to hold you accountable. When you don't hold cops accountable, this is what happens.
Yeah. So look, there is corruption in the Philippines, just like there's corruption in pretty much every other country. And there are multiple political parties. And those who support Duterte, just like those who support Trump, like to make excuses for him because they don't want to accept the reality of supporting a crazy person who's actually destructive for their society. And so the excuse that they're coming up with for Duterte is, oh, the political opponents are setting this up. There's some sort of weird conspiracy theory to set this up so Duterte looks bad. No, Duterte is terrible, okay? He is the person who gave a green light to vigilante injustice, really. And he has given a green light to people doing these extrajudicial killings. Okay, so there are no excuses for Duterte. Duterte has been on the record over and over again saying that he applauds and supports this. And now that he's been caught supporting something that has been destructive, he's trying to walk it back a little bit. He's saying, oh no, this is terrible. And he is saying that these cops need to be put in custody. No, you need to be put in custody. There's no reason why someone like him should be a leader of a country.
So once you open up the can of worms of lawlessness, vigilante justice, and the president saying you don't have to follow the law, you can just kill people, it leads down a very, very dark alley, and it does every single time. And it did in this case, unfortunately, literally. They found the kid, his body was bullet riddled, it was in a fetal position, and he was semi-naked. So, and then they pretended that he was a dangerous guy. And so this is the thing that has outraged the Philippines, where it's gone too far. But to Anna's point, you should have known it was going to go there. This is when you allow someone to break the law and have no consequences, in this case Duterte, and then the cops that he unleashed. Well, this is a guaranteed result. So don't if you supported Duterte before, don't feign outrage now. This is what you authorized. But now that you realize what he's actually doing, throw him the hell out of office. And may you be the first to throw a right-wing dictator out or someone with dictatorial tendencies, and may others follow.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, some more international news for you.
All right, back on TYT. Rebecca Jonesy writes in, I love it when I'm on Facebook and see my friends posting about how they are TYT subscribers also. Damn right, I love that too, Rebecca. Go spread the word. Jess, it's just me, writes in. So Trump likes the whole tough on crime thing. When Trump's crimes are uncovered, let's see if he still feels the same way. Isn't it? Well, I mean, Sheriff Joe reminds me of that crying Nazi guy, right? Oh yeah, these criminals, I'm gonna get them, this job, I'm gonna make them wear pink underwear, I'm gonna put them in a tent, put them in a chain gang for criminals. Oh, me? Why are you coming after me? Why are you coming after me? Somebody pardon me. Please, somebody pardon me. Bitch. Cynthia Mahone and Leonard Bates are the members of the day. As always, we'll have a terrific post game for you guys today. It's Wednesday. We've got Old School for the members and TYT Classics. So it's a great day for the members. TYTnetwork.com/join to become one. And I just got to update you real quick on the polls that we've been asking because they're so amazing. Should we leave Afghanistan even if it means creating a possible vacuum for the Taliban to fill? I mean, that is as conservative a leaning framing as you can have. 89% saying yes, leave anyway. No is 11%. Should you be kicked out of college for going to the Charlottesville rally? Still holding strong at 55%. No. Should Trump be disqualified from the presidency for mental incompetence? Anna's outrage at the at a lack of a yes vote there has swung the electorate.
I mean, come on, guys. Really? You don't think someone should be disqualified for being mentally incompetent?
No.
For being the president? Like, I mean, come on.
I know, but the question is he actually mentally incompetent? By the definite, I mean, by the understanding of the 25th Amendment. Anyway, you have won the crowd, Anna.
Good.
Now 67% saying yes.
Thank you.
And should they have pulled down the Confederate monument in North Carolina? Still very close, but 53% saying yes now. Just wanted to update you on all those fun polls. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. A 14-year-old boy has been arrested in Saudi Arabia for performing the Macarena. Yes. The fun 1990s dance craze that took over America will get you arrested in Saudi Arabia. And it's unfortunate. Now, there's a video showing what he did. Let's take a quick look at that, and then I'll fill in some more details. Well, in the middle of the street, fun kid. He has a smile on his face, having a good time. Starts doing the Macarena. I mean, come on. So apparently this video was filmed a year ago, but he just got arrested for it. It was posted last year, but his arrest was reported just this past Monday.
Okay, they said that this was, quote, improper public behavior. He is improperly out of date with the Macarena. But outside of that, I'm gonna say who doesn't love this kid? But we have our answer, it's the Muslim fundamentalist government of Saudi Arabia, who are some of the worst people on earth. So I think Footloose is one of the most American movies ever made. And so yes, we had this problem too at some point in America where some conservative Christians didn't want people to dance. Luckily, we've gotten past it. There's still tiny, tiny pockets in America. And when you run across them, you're like, really?
Like Christian fundamentalists today who don't like people to dance?
Yes. Okay, I know it seems unbelievable, but again, these things are not equal.
Yeah.
That's a problem we've largely gotten rid of. There's still like a bunch of old rules left over. You can't buy alcohol on Sundays because God's watching or whatever.
No,
right?
There are entire counties that don't allow you to buy.
There are
alcohol.
Dry counties. Right. I know. Yeah. So some of that still is like some remnants, but it's nothing like Saudi Arabia where they don't want you to have fun. Like anything that's fun is forbidden. And it's ironically the most unnatural thing in the world because fundamentalists of all stripes will say things like, oh, being gay is wrong, it's unnatural. Well, then how come it occurs in nature? So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But you know what's unnatural? Trying to get human beings to stop having sex, trying to get human beings to stop dancing. It's in our DNA. We've been doing it from since the beginning of man. And so trying to stop people from doing that is the most unnatural thing you could do. So this is part of why I love America, because here we're free and we can dance if we like to. And if your friends don't dance, they're no friends of mine. Okay, but in other countries like Saudi Arabia, when this happens, it's heartbreaking, man, because it's not the fault of the Saudi people. That kid wants to dance, let him dance, let him dance, let the whole country dance. If you let them, they'd all dance. But it's their dictators that are in charge that made a deal with the Wahhabis and still live millennia ago, and barbarians.
This is so devastating, especially when you consider that the world is full of pretty terrible people. And here you have you have a 14-year-old who isn't hurting anyone. He's having a little bit of a good time, right? You're gonna arrest him and do what? What are they gonna do with him? What kind of justice are they looking for? You know what I'm saying? It's just such a waste of everyone's time, resources. What does this teach a 14-year-old who just wants to have fun and dance?
Earlier this month, a singer was arrested in Saudi Arabia for doing the dab move in an onstage dance. Okay.
There's no other crime going on in Saudi Arabia. Just this kind of stuff. You know, people dancing, people dabbing.
So I know folks who will say, no, but Cenk, they're starting to go in the right direction, and they once let one woman drive in secret or whatever it is that they call reform. And you have to understand, you have to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. We have to do this one inch at a time. And by the 28th century or the 38th century, finally Saudi Arabia will be free. No, you don't have to do it that way. The only reason why you think you have to do it that way is if you're already in power. And you don't want to let go of that power, you don't want to risk that power at all. So you want to keep a vice-like grip on it. Nobody disobeys us at all. Let's do a little pressure valve release here. Oh, I made 1% reform. Can I continue to be your dictator, right?
Yeah, I remember having a conversation with someone who is part of Saudi royalty. And she was trying to convince me that things are getting a lot better in Saudi Arabia. Okay, yeah, not buying it. And I remember the entire time throughout that conversation, I was like, look, I get it, okay? You are Saudi royalty, and it's in your best interest to, put your game face on and then go talk to other people and talk about how great your country is and how they're making so much progress. They're not making so much progress. Women are still not allowed to drive. Women are still forced to be covered head to toe. A 14-year-old gets arrested for dancing. I mean, how is that getting better? How is that progressivism? It's not.
It's slightly better than the old regime, which is damning with very, very faint praise. So here's how you can let women drive, let them drive. Okay, here's how you can do reforms, do real reforms. Now, what they would say back is, well, no, but that would be, you don't know the culture here, that would be destabilizing.
Yeah, don't care about your culture.
No, first of all, that's a whole other thing. And yes, I definitely don't care about the wrong parts of your culture, no interest in protecting that. And everybody's got bad parts of their culture, and you gotta let that go. But beyond that, it's all they mean is destabilizing to whom? It's destabilizing to the people in power.
That's right.
And they don't want that. So anyway, look, let religion go. And okay, but there are wonderful religious people. But this is definite and clear. Let fundamentalism go. This whole idea that some religious leader has a one-way communication, or maybe even they claim sometimes two-way communication with God, mm-hmm. and knows what God or Allah wants, and he doesn't want your 14-year-old to dance and ever have a good time. He's almost definitely, not almost, and I know it, they're all lying to you to protect their own power. Set yourself free, let go of this ancient garbage.
Yep. All right, moving on. Let's go back to the US. All right. First Lady Melania Trump is thanking Chelsea Clinton for defending her son Barron Trump. Now, why did Barron Trump need to be defended? Well, the Daily Caller, which is one of the most disgusting publications of all time, decided that it'd be a great idea to pick on an 11-year-old and the way that he dresses. So Ford Springer from the Daily Caller wrote an opinion piece about how Barron doesn't dress nice enough. Because there's nothing else to write about. So the headline was, it's high time Barron Trump starts dressing like he's in the White House. Okay, so let me give you a few pieces of what this guy wrote, so you'll kind of get a sense of how petty he is. He wrote, while the president and first lady traveled in their Sunday best, young Barron looked like he was hopping on Air Force One for a trip to the movie theater. What am I missing here? Is Barron just better than I ever was at rebelling against my parents? His dad is always looking dapper, and his mom has become a worldwide fashion icon since becoming first lady. The youngest Trump doesn't have any responsibilities as the president's son, but the least he could do is dress the part when he steps out in public. Now, to be fair to the readers of the Daily Caller, a lot of them did criticize Springer for writing this stupid opinion article. But what I love is that Chelsea Clinton Hamilton stood up for Barron and said, you know, let the kid be a kid. You know, don't rob him of his childhood. And kids should be off limits, regardless of, you know, political ideology of the parents and all that. Who cares? Off limits. He's an 11-year-old. So anyway, because Chelsea Clinton defended him, Melania did go ahead and thank her very publicly on Twitter. Thank you, Chelsea Clinton. So important to support all of our children in being themselves. Hashtag stop childhood bullying.
Okay. I'm now going to say a couple of unacceptable things.
I mean,
things.
She should probably focus a little bit on her husband's bullying.
Yeah, he's the world's biggest bully.
Yeah.
All right, let me say a couple of unacceptable things. Nothing I would do with Barron. Of course, don't talk about the kids. But one is Chelsea Clinton gets too much credit for this. It's like, it's the smallest niche in the world. Her niche is protecting other presidential kids. Whenever a presidential kid is ever mentioned, Chelsea comes out like, don't do it. It's not the right thing to do.
Look.
And the whole press is like, bravo, bravo, Chelsea. Like, it's a layup. I'm not trying to take credit away from her, but it's not a hard position to take.
Right. Well, look, I agree with you in that the media does go nuts over the smallest things, especially if it involves, old school political families and things like that. But Chelsea Clinton was a child of a president, and I'm sure she went through quite a bit, especially considering, you know, what her dad did when he was in office.
No, I know. I'm old, dude. I covered it. And Rush Limbaugh was a total prick to her and made fun of her looks when she was like 13, I think, but underage.
Can we just have a quick conversation about how ironic it is that someone like Rush Limbaugh would ever have the audacity to comment on anyone else's looks, ever, 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 okay?
Anyway, but so, look, she's not doing anything wrong. She's also like we don't have to give her a medal. But anyway, God bless. And then Melania, I'm gonna get more unacceptable here with the hashtag stop childhood bullying. The guy just said he should dress up. He shouldn't have said it. He's an idiot, right? But is it like bullying the kid? It's like now this has become like a thing where this is like somehow related to childhood bullying.
You're being ridiculous. Yeah, it is. He's 11 years old, okay? You're coming from your own little bubble where we get like harassment and abuse on a daily basis. So if someone comments on the way we dress, we're like, oh, it's a good day, right?
It's a good day in America, right? Right. That's all?
Exactly. But in this case, it's an 11-year-old boy, okay? Why do you need to pick on an 11-year-old boy? Really? That's the only thing you can think about to write.
No, of course, for the 18th time, I'm not defending the writer. He's an idiot. I'm just saying they're making a federal case out of this.
This is not the worst
example of childhood bullying. There's much more egregious examples. Okay, I don't like his shirt. He should have worn a better shirt.
I'm kidding.
What do they care what he wears?
I just want you to like trash the Daily Caller right now.
Oh, sure. I hate the Daily Caller.
Okay, mission accomplished. That's all I wanted. They're terrible. All right, moving on. All right, we're going to talk about pigs now. A group of piglets were rescued months ago by firefighters, and the big update to the story now is that the individual who owns the farm wanted to thank the firefighters by giving them sausages that were produced by these piglets that were saved. All right, so the 18 piglets and two sows survived the fire in February, which saw 60 tons of hay catch fire. Now, the farm manager, Rachel Rivers, thanked these firefighters by giving them sausages, okay? So the firefighters posted a photo of themselves barbecuing the sausages on social media, and people were kind of outraged by it. So then they took down the picture, and then they apologized, saying that it was insensitive. Yeah, okay, you guys jump in.
Okay, it's almost as if they never heard the saying,
animals are innocent.
Now, look. This is unfortunate timing, circumstance, etc. But we do eat pigs, and sausages are delicious. So they would have eaten it under different circumstances. So our outrage at them is a little weird. At the same time, don't get me wrong, I get it. Yes. Like, it was those particular pigs that they saved. And they're like, oh, let's break their necks and eat them.
No, I know. So you're right. It doesn't. It doesn't sound or look good. But I mean, if you take a step back, for those of you who don't believe in eating animal products, I get you, I hear you, you're gonna be outraged no matter what, okay? However, keep in mind that the firefighters went to save a farm, okay? What is the farm for? People don't farm animals for shiggles, like shits and giggles. They farm animals because, you know, it's their livelihood. And that's what Rachel Rivers said. She's like, this is our business. This is how we make money. Yeah. And so, yeah, we were gonna kill those pigs at some point anyway. And so we wanted to thank the firefighters by giving them some sausage.
It's just ironic.
It is, I agree.
And that's the fun part. Yeah. I saw this story, that's why I wanna make sure we do it. Okay, so we have blind spots, right? I mean, everyone wants to save a dog, except for some people who decide to buy them, like they're, you know, and spend thousands and thousands of dollars. But in LA, we're all like a bunch of dog savers. It's just odd if you go and save a dog from a shelter, and then you're tired of it, so you go and throw it out in the street. It's just weird. You don't want to kill something you just saved and go back. I mean, we know we kill dogs every day in shelters. Like, again, it all comes back. It's what they do. They have to euthanize and kill these dogs. But if you go and specifically save one, and then later kill that same very dog, it seems like it's kind of defeated the purpose. Yeah, sure, those pigs are gonna be killed and eaten by someone else, but it shouldn't be eaten by the same people that just saved the damn
pig. No, but that's why context is important here. I thought the same thing, like, hey, can we take a break here for a second and then maybe have somebody else eat the pigs later? Well, it turns out they did. It was not like they saved them from the fire. They're like, oh, now let's put them back in the fire, right? No, it was 6 months later, they got invited back to the farm and they ate the pigs then.
Besides which,
so they used the pigs in the meanwhile and they were saving the whole farm, not just the pigs.
That's I think the most important context. To share with the audience, because it's not like the firefighters went there specifically to save the piglets. They went there because there was a fire at a farm, and so they went to go save the farm in general. And by doing so, they just happened to also save some of the animals there. But again, look, if you're against eating animal products, you're gonna hate it no matter what, regardless of what the context is, and I get that. But I also do get that it is ironic, and it just sounds weird.
Yeah, it's like the bad timing of my circumcision story, of course, which is what you guys were all thinking
about.
That's
exactly what I was thinking about, yeah. Jake. I can't stop thinking about your circumcision story.
Well, after I tell you, you won't be able to. So, as some of you have heard this, if you are members,
I'm going
to
tell it again. All right, great.
Anyway, no, I got circumcised at the age of 6, which is a terrible idea. It's maybe one of the reasons I left Islam. Anyway. No, it's just a bad cultural practice, if you ask me. Anyway, and then they dress you up in a clown outfit as if that's supposed to make you feel better. And then at some point, we went down to my parents' hometown and they're like, okay, there's a sheep here. And it's a present for you. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. Hey, oh, look, it's Ali and you play with the sheep. And then they're like, oh, no, we made a present this way. Oh, sick, did I slit it so. We're going to eat Ali tonight, right? Now, in reality, you eat lamb all the time. Oh, if you're in Turkey, all you do is eat lamb. Mm-hmm. You just kind of didn't want to see it happen right in front of you when you're 6. And so I did not partake. I didn't eat Ali that night. Okay. And by the way, I love gyros, so I do eat. But lamb chunks, which is what they serve that night, I've never eaten.
Really?
Yes.
So
yes.
You don't eat like rack of lamb, lamb chops?
Well, no, the chunks of lamb. Okay, I don't know if it's because I got scarred that night, right? Mm-hmm. But lamb chops, yeah, they're delicious. As long as you don't kill Ali in front of him. So, I'm with JR. Look, I know they were saving the farm. I know it was a lot later. I know we eat pigs. Just give them different pigs to eat, all right? Or invite them over for burgers. You know what I'm saying? Because you've got to remember.
Animals are innocent.
Or just don't share anything on social media, and this will never become a big story.
Yeah, well, that's also true too. All right, guys, we do have a fun post game for you, where you, if you're a member, you would have known that circumcision story a long time ago. TYTnetwork.com/join, and don't miss Old School tonight at 11 as well if you're a member. Bye-bye.